Welcome to your Daily Cup of Inspiration podcast with Deanna Hobbs, founder of Empowering Everyday Women Ministries, broadcasting live from our headquarters studios in Buffalo, New York. Visit us online at empoweringeverydaywomen.org.
Today's inspiration is to remind you that God has spoken a word over you. There is a prophetic promise over your life, and it is irrevocable. That means it cannot be changed or reversed. It is final. In other words, God, and not your circumstances, however they may look, has the final say. And He says you are victorious, blessed, favored, and that you are coming out of this distressing season even more blessed, as evidence that the word He speaks never fails to manifest. Welcome to this, your Thursday, October 12th, 2023 edition of your Daily Cup of Inspiration podcast. My name is Deanna Hobbs, your bestie from Buffalo, your sister from another mister, your faith activator, bringing you the biggest smiles and the warmest greetings ever. When we gather like this to receive the word of the Lord, I get excited. I'm just buzzing today because I perceive in my spirit and know in my heart that somebody listening to me is about to get a breakthrough. Oh, yes, you are. There is a person who has pressed play that while you are listening to this broadcast, the anointing is going to hit you and change the trajectory of your destiny. A life-transforming breakthrough awaits you. Somebody else is about to get healed while you're listening. You've been dealing with an affliction for a long time, but your day of release and relief is here because the Lord is in our midst today. The fact that God is doing a work through this ministry is why I am beyond thankful for your unwavering financial support of this 501c3 nonprofit. You are sowing in good ground because the gospel is going out through these free podcasts that are available wherever podcasts are heard. Testimonies that set my soul on fire are being received daily. In fact, here's one from Judith in Rochester, Pennsylvania, who is a Christian counselor at a drug rehab center for women. She wrote into the ministry and said, "Dear Deanna, every day my heart breaks when I see women come off the street whose lives have been ruined and devastated by drug abuse. I honestly feel helpless sometimes, but I am heartened by a woman named Beth who lost everything, her husband and children and her faith, because of a heroin addiction. Part of our program uses your devotions and podcast inspirations to strengthen the faith of our clients. Beth, who grew up in the church but turned away from God, after 4 months in our program, consistently consumed all the content from your ministry that we gave her, and she has rededicated her life back to the Lord. She has been clean and sober for 3 months and is on the path to recovery. Thank you for all you and your ministry staff do to reach hurting souls. My God, to God be the glory. This blessed me. Look at the power of the gospel transforming lives, right? And you know what? I think we need a praise break right here.
And inspiring testimonies like this remind us that God is transforming lives through this ministry. We are grateful for your support that keeps these broadcasts available online as a free resource to help others grow in their faith. If you are being blessed and you believe in our mission to share the gospel, sow a seed of any size at empoweringeverydaywomen.org/donate. Thank you for your generosity.
Bless the name of Jesus. I feel the Holy Spirit today in the studio. So let's dive into today's audio devotion, a companion to the written devotion of the day, available now at yourdailycupofinspiration.com. But before we get into it, let's pray really quick. God, thank you for your anointing that we feel right now and for sending your precious daughter, your precious son here to press play on this podcast. You said that a breakthrough is waiting for those who listen and their lives will be transformed by the word. So I am a submitted vessel, submitted to your will. Use me as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen. God has spoken a word over you. Bestie, it feels like my oldest son, Kadar, who just turned 20 years old last month and plays football at a local college, has grown up so fast. And the same is true of the other Hobbs children, too. It's almost as if someone fast-forwarded life and Kyla, Kaya, and Kadar went from toddlers to teens to 20-somethings in no time. My youngest son, Caleb, who turned 17 in March, is the last teenager. I'm having a hard time believing that he'll be 18 in the early part of next year. Where did the time go? When Kenya and I celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary this past January, that felt surreal also because it doesn't seem like that much time has gone by, you know? Even though I am aware that years have passed, I think my brain is still stuck in the past. In my mind, Kenya and I are still in the early stages of building a family, and those are still our babies, but they aren't babies anymore, right? There are some fundamental things, however, that will never change in terms of the way I relate to our children, young or old. I will forever instruct them in the ways of righteousness, discuss scripture with them, come on, pray for them and with them, and model what it means to dedicate my everyday life to the Lord. That has and always will be part of my role in their lives. When it comes to the everyday practical life stuff, on the other hand, my approach changes as needed. Even so, I am always more than happy to be there for them. And that's why when Kadar called me a few days ago in the afternoon telling me he needed my help, I joyfully sprang into action. Turns out he ran out of gas a block away from the gas station, not too far from home. Poor thing. I thought I had enough gas to make it, he told me. Though he knew he was low and needed a refill, he apparently overestimated how far he could go on the small amount of gas left in the tank. Within a few moments, the car stalled and he had to push it. Thankfully, a kind stranger walking by saw Kadar's predicament and chose to help him push the car into a parking lot behind a bank. I love Buffalo. They call us the city of good neighbors. Folks will help you out here. This is a nice part of New York State. Now, if you go somewhere else, I can't vouch for them, but here, people are really kind. So when I got to where Kadar was, I took him to the gas station to put fuel in a gas can. He then poured the contents of the gas can into the tank to give him just enough gas to make it to the station where he could fill up. Easy peasy. Problem solved. If everything could be so easy, right? Anyway, as I was talking to Kadar, bestie, about what happened, he described what it felt like for him to run out of gas on the road for the first time in his life. The car started shaking, he told me, and the steering wheel was hard to move. I chuckled because I knew exactly what that was like. The car then stalled out completely and refused to go any further. Kadar's car started acting like that donkey in Numbers 22 that refused to move an inch further when its owner, a prophet named Balaam, commanded the donkey to go forward. Do you remember what happened in this biblical account? Well, in the ancient land of Moab, around 1400 BC, an unusual and humorous event takes place, starring a talking donkey and its grumpy rider, Balaam. Now, I always find it funny when I delve into the curious case of Numbers 22. It makes me laugh every single time. Here's what's going on. At the time, the Israelites, who have been making their way through the wilderness after leaving Egypt, make camp in Moab along the Jordan across from Jericho. Their presence on the land makes the Moabite king, whose name is Balak, rather nervous. He was fearful of the Israelites conquering his land because they had rightfully earned a reputation for crushing their enemies and subduing nations. In Numbers 22 and 4, the Moabites living in that area said to the elders of Midian about the Israelites, "This horde is going to lick up everything around us as an ox licks up the grass of the field." They were expressing their fear and concern that the Israelites were like a horde or a swarm that would consume and destroy everything around them, just like an ox would devour the grass of the field. This gives you a clear picture of how intimidating the Israelites were, right? So King Balak, son of Zippor, decides that he has a good plan to stave off these divinely empowered troublemakers. King Balak is going to recruit a powerful prophet named Balaam, son of Beor, to curse the Israelites. Now, interestingly, Balaam in Hebrew means devourer or destroyer, while Balak means devastator. So a devourer and a devastator team up against God's chosen people. Let me just pause for a minute and encourage somebody who is currently facing some devastating opposition and adversity. It doesn't matter who or what opposes you when God is for you. If God is for us, who can be against us? In Romans 8 and 31, that's what it says. Even if the devourer sets his sights on you, in Malachi 3 and 11, God makes a promise to those who honor him. He says, "I will rebuke the hand of the devourer for your sake." Somebody else needs to know that the enemy doesn't stand a chance against you, because according to 1 John 4:4, greater is he that lives in us than he that is in the world. King Balak, bless his heart, apparently doesn't understand how the power and principles of God work. Therefore, he proceeds with his ill-conceived plan and sends men to deliver a message to the prophet Balaam, who is in Pethor, near the Euphrates River in his native land. Now, Pethor was famous, bestie, for its diviners, sorcerers, magicians, and soothsayers. But it doesn't matter if a witch, a warlock, a fortune teller, or a spellcaster position themselves as the determining factor in your destiny. There is no potion, no spell, no form of divination that exists that is strong enough to overcome our sovereign, all-powerful God who is on your side. Amen. Still, the king sent a message to the prophet in Numbers 22 and 6 saying, "Now come and put a curse on these people because they are too powerful for me." He was scared. "Perhaps then," he said, "I will be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land. For I know that whoever you bless is blessed, and whoever you curse is cursed." Now, wait a minute. The king's logic sounds so silly to those of us who actually got the memo contained in the Abrahamic covenant. In Genesis 12 and 3, where God tells Abraham, "I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you." King Balak clearly doesn't understand the fact that the words of a prophet, even a respected and powerful one like Balaam, can in no way usurp or override the authority, the will, and the covenant of God. The word of the Lord stands despite who comes against it. So in this story, which spans Numbers chapter 22 through 24, you should read it all. Initially, God altogether refuses permission for prophet Balaam to even go to King Balak, but later gives him the green light on one condition: do only what I tell you. As Balaam and his donkey get underway, the donkey starts acting funny because of something it sees that its rider cannot see. How ironic to have a prophet who can't see in the spirit. Anyway, an angel of God appeared in the road with a sword drawn, visible only to the donkey, who stops obeying Balaam and reacts instead to the angel of the Lord. So an ignorant Balaam tries to beat the donkey into submission in Numbers 22 and 23. This poor donkey gets three different beatings before the Lord mercifully grants it some temporary speech abilities. "What have I done to you to make you beat me these three times?" it said. I love this story. Did I mention that? I love this story. Finally, the angel becomes visible to Balaam and asks the prophet in verse 32, "Why have you beaten your donkey these three times? I have come here to oppose you because your path is a reckless one before me. The donkey saw me and turned away from me these three times. If it had not turned away, I would certainly have killed you by now, but I would have spared it." Oop! The donkey's sensitive and appropriate response to the angel's presence spares Balaam's life. Then the angel reinforces for the prophet exactly what he should do when he goes to see Balak. If Balak asks him to curse Israel, he instead must bless them. He must speak the word of God, which is the will of God. And God's will was to bless Israel. No amount of coercing from the king, financial rewards, or any incentives could change the assignment of the prophet or the decree of the Lord. In Numbers 24:13, when the prophet is with the king, the prophet offers a powerful response to King Balak, who says, "I can reward you handsomely for speaking a curse over Israel." Prophet Balaam then reiterates a message he had already given to the king's men, saying, "Even if Balak gave me all the silver and gold in his palace, I could not do anything of my own accord, good or bad, to go beyond the command of the Lord. And I must say only what the Lord says." The prophet further tells the king, "I can't say whatever I please. I must speak only what God puts in my mouth." And bestie, do you know one of the things God puts in Prophet Balaam's mouth? I'll tell you. It's the beautiful Bible verse we so love in Numbers 23:19 that says, "God is not a man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and he will not fulfill it?" This is the context of that famous Bible verse. It's referencing God's will to prosper and bless his people, as well as his ultimate refusal to change his mind and the impossibility of God failing to fulfill his word. There is no failure in God. Listen, the prophet stresses again. He says, "I have received a command to bless. He blessed, and I cannot change it." Friend, the circumstances, the people, the forces that have come against you cannot change the word that the Lord has spoken over you. They cannot revoke the irrevocable blessing that has been pronounced over you and your situation. So don't worry when the devastator and devourer try to double team you, when the liars and manipulators show up, when the gaslighters and gossipers come around, when sickness and lack make a beeline to your house, when Satan and his imps make an appearance, when worry and fear attack you, when bad news and unexpected storms arise. Psalm 68:1 says, "Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, let them also that hate him flee before him." Isaiah 59:19 says, "When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him." The devil has been trying to wear somebody out. He wants to intimidate you, stress you out, rob you of your blessing, but he cannot take what has been ordained for you. Jesus said in John 10:10, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." There is an abundant harvest with your name on it, and the enemy can't have it. There is a blessing that has been spoken over you, and the enemy cannot revoke it. There is a door that has been opened for you, and the enemy cannot close it. There is a breakthrough being released to you, and the enemy cannot delay it. There is victory that has been bestowed upon you by Jesus Christ, our conquering Savior, and the enemy cannot change it. You are victorious through Christ. This battle is not yours. It is the Lord's. I know you may be in a fight and circumstances may look discouraging at times, but God is there. The Lord told me to drop Zephaniah 3:17 in your spirit, which is the sweetener I'm stirring into your cup of inspiration today, which says, "For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs." As you drink down the contents of your cup, oh, bless his name, God told me to tell you to stop focusing on who or what is against you and rejoice over who is with you and who has spoken over you. The Lord, a mighty Savior, is there, and the word he has prophesied over your life, decreeing blessings, miracles, favor, and deliverance, shall come to pass. Now let's pray. God, I pray for this, my sister, this, my brother. Thank you for the word that you have spoken over them. Despite what it looks like and what it feels like, I rejoice for the irrevocable promises that will be fulfilled, the unending mercy that will manifest, and the inexhaustible harvest of blessings that will be released. I praise you for reminding them that you have the final say and that you, the one who promised, is faithful, according to Hebrews 10:23. In Jesus' matchless and mighty name we pray. Amen and amen.
Your daily cup of inspiration has been brought to you by Empowering Everyday Women Ministries, where we fuel your faith every day. For more information, log on to yourdailycupofinspiration.com.